Chapter 18. Jensen hadn't originally thought the newcomer would be of much consequence to himself personally. It wasn't that he was being cold, or that Jared didn't seem nice once Jensen started to get to know him. It was just that his pride traded members with other prides every 20 years or so. It was normal for them to absorb new members. Jensen was used to it, and surely this would just be another new member. Obviously, Jared would have some greater significance for Jensen, in that he was a parent to Jensen's son, as easily so as Jensen was, if not more. They would be friends, or so Jensen hoped. And at first, Jensen didn't notice him much beyond that. Not coldly or cruelly. He acknowledged Jared as best he could, wanting to get to know him, eager to, in fact. But for the first week after he'd made amends, he only had eyes for his son. He'd always wanted to be a father. He'd always thought he'd be good at it. It seemed only fitting after watching all those in his litter group made off, after watching even Misha, who'd always sworn he would be a terrible parent and would be no good with authority, end up with a beautiful, fertile heavy with his kittens, the two of them content in their home, their den, together. He'd been happy for his friends, his family, but he couldn't deny the faint beat of jealousy in his chest. He had his pride, and they depended on him, and that was enough, but even so, it was merely a dream deferred. Until Cosette had offered him a chance. Jensen couldn't help but feel he had a lot to make up for, between sending the cubs down the river, and then rejecting Tristan outright when he arrived. Jared had pointed out to him, when the guilt hit him the worst, that Tristan didn't know any better. He was still too young to grasp language, and to him, Jensen was just that guy who came in and yelled at them that one time. Jensen had plenty more chances to reintroduce himself. Tristan wouldn't remember, Jared would say, 5 years from now, 10, that his father had rejected him for a week. He would only know Jensen as the dad that loved him. All the same, Jensen would remember. So at first, he was so wound up in impressing himself to Tristan that he forgot everything else. He was even distracted when handling his job as Alpha, though at least Misha and his betas were willing to cut him some slack, now that it was apparent that he was trying. He spent some time every afternoon with his son. Some days Tristan wanted nothing to do with him, or Jared, or any adults, and Jensen was sidelined, just sitting to watch Tristan play with other cubs in his litter group. Other days Tristan wanted to use Jensen as his own personal jungle gym. Jensen didn't know what that was, but Jared referred to him as it, so it was obviously relevant. Climbing over his neck and back, chewing on Jensen's frill. By far, Jensen's favorite kind of days were the ones where Tristan had played himself out, to the point where he could barely move, and Jensen could hold his kitten in his arms or tuck him up against his fur and tell him the stories of the first pride, spinning them word for word from memory, the voice of his mother in Jensen's head. And because of all that, at first, it was a little hard to notice Jared beyond their casual conversation. It wasn't because Jared wasn't good to talk to, because he was. And it wasn't because Jensen didn't appreciate Jared's easy forgiveness. He was extremely appreciative. And it certainly wasn't because Jared was boring. With his human upbringing, Jared was possibly the strangest allure that Jensen had ever met, and endlessly interesting. It really had nothing to do with Jared so much as it had to do with Tristan, and it was a couple of weeks until Jensen felt himself settle some, come down off of high alert and relax into the motions of being a parent, to not being afraid that he was still failing and obsessing over every act and word. But once he did notice him as more than just a companion to talk to, more than just Tristan's other parent, more than just their strange newcomer, Jensen found himself warming quickly to him. Jared was kind and sociable, if a bit strange and unaware of his own heritage. It was a little awkward to talk to him at first, until the bruise across Jared's nose faded away, that constant reminder of how Jensen had fucked up. But Jared seemed to be genuine in his forgiveness, not holding a grudge against Jensen or turning Jensen's child against him. Jared's ease of acceptance was impressive, and Jensen had to work hard not to end up impressed. So he went from not really noticing Jared to being quite interested in him. And once he became interested in him, the mystery of Jared popped out in bright relief, and a dozen new questions a day moved through Jensen's head as he spent his afternoons with the other Allure. Jared was young, only 19. How had a 19-year-old come to be left out alone in the woods? How had he come to be raised by humans? What was it like being raised by humans? What was that kind of world like? Where did Jared come from and who was he? Why had he taken a cub in, suckled that cub, loved it, then decided to bring it back? And why, when Allure needed pride to live, when they needed each other, was Jared so determined to see himself alone? Jensen couldn't imagine sequestering himself away. Even the Fertiles, who needed to seclude themselves during their heats, would stay together at the Cove to comfort and keep each other company. The questions about Jared were quiet ones at first, easily pushed to the back of Jensen's mind as he and Jared talked while Tristan climbed a tree, or while they helped clean up the mess that Tristan and the other cubs had made of Julie and Misha's den. But as time went on, the questions became louder, more prominent, and despite himself, Jensen found his eyes more and more often flicking over to Jared in some attempt to solve the puzzle that was the younger Allure. It was why, one Sunday afternoon, when Jensen had bounded down from the main house for his daily visit and arrived to find out that Tristan was spending the afternoon with his Aunt Cosette, he shrugged away his twinge of disappointment and took the opportunity presented to him. Jared was obviously expecting Jensen to leave again once he'd found out that Tristan wasn't there, but Jensen had no such intention. "Hold up," he asked as Jared was making his way back up the steps. The Fertile stopped, half turning to look over his shoulder, and Jensen's eyes traveled over Jared's distinctive markings. Darkened forelegs with striping over his shoulders and back. Unusual for a Fertile to have any markings whatsoever, let alone one so prominent, and it was something that Jensen had noticed every time that Jared was in his cat form, but had never had the chance to ask about. "Yeah?" Jared asked, tail flicking with curiosity. "I was wondering, hoping, that we could talk." He quickly sensed Jared's unease and hastened to placate. "Nothing bad, I've been getting to know Tristan, but I would also like to get to know you." Jared seemed surprised at that, though Jensen was uncertain why he would be. Jensen swiveled his ears forward, perking them up hopefully, and Jared seemed to relent. "Sure, let me just go change." Jensen had expected them to just walk in their natural forms, but it occurred to him, suddenly, that Jared didn't see the cat as his natural form. Jensen found his two-legged shape useful, his hands important, and his ability to speak with humans invaluable, but it was a useful tool, nothing more. To Jared, it was the body he was most comfortable in. Jensen relented, not wanting Jared to feel any added distress. "I'll meet you up at the main house, then." Up at the top of the hill was the large log house that consisted primarily of the meeting hall, a large room that took up most of the two stories, with a grand fireplace built into one of the walls, its stone chimney running up into the ceilings. It was a place to weather bad storms in the old days, before the individual cabins were built, though it wasn't unusual for portions of the pride to gather in the main house during the winter, to share warmth or stories or just the companionship, a family curled together, waiting out the cold months. Tucked into one corner of the house was the kitchen, the only one on Pride ground. So far, Jensen had plans. It wasn't very big or well outfitted, and everything in it that still worked was from the 70s, but it sufficed for their needs. Most of the cabins had no plumbing, the Pride having to get their water from the well that had been built into the mountain, dug deep into the aquifer below them. But the kitchen in the main house had some rudimentary plumbing, which included a sink. Of course, the main house wasn't only for meetings. It was the traditional home of the Elfa. Jensen's quarters were in the attic at the top of a ladder that led into a loft. There was one window that let him see out, and in the winter the smoke going up the chimney heated the space nicely. It wasn't as big as one of the cabins, but it was more than enough, and had been the quarters of the Elfa going back generations. Jensen descended the ladder frontwards, the steps wide and the angle shallow enough to allow that, enough so that it was comfortable for a cat to run up and down it, doing up some of the buttons on his shirt as he did so. The ladder ended in a walkway which led to a narrow flight of stairs down to the ground floor. He could already see Jared down there, waiting. His expression looked pinched. "So," the other Allure started, hands in his pockets, "what did you want to talk to me about?" "It's nothing bad," Jensen repeated, walking down the stairs. "Just seems serious." "You were the one who wanted human forms. Had to come back here for clothes because, if I recall correctly, you are as startled by nakedness as you are by your true form." He smirked a little when Jared frowned. "I'm not. It's just, people made clothes for a reason."
"Humans made clothes," Jensen reminded, and Jared just puffed out a breath.
He stepped out onto the main floor, making his way over to the other Allure, glancing him up and down. Jared was tall, taller than Jensen by an inch or two, and it was possible he wasn't done growing yet. He was skinny around, with bony shoulders, though his proportions had evened out over the time he'd been there. It made Jensen wince a little with guilt, remembering how bad Jared had first looked, and knowing that was because he'd sacrificed his own health for Tristan, only to have Jensen fling it all back in his face. "Come," the Elfa spoke up again, voice warmer. "Let's go outside, where there's some sun." He lifted a hand, patting it against Jared's shoulder blade as he guided the younger cat out the front door, over to the sunning rock in front of the house. It jutted out at the top of the rise, giving a perfect view of all of Pride Ground, and even some of the river just beyond the trees. The sun was out in full force today, and Jared glanced up at it, blinking in the light. Jensen sat down on the sunning rock, letting his legs dangle over the edge, and he felt, rather than saw, Jared still giving him a curious look.
"I was serious, you know," Jensen remarked. "I really do just want to talk, get to know you more. I didn't mean anything by it." It seemed important, somehow. Jared was being sheltered by Jensen's pride, and that made him someone that Jensen was responsible for. And besides that, Jared had saved Jensen's son and brought him home, nearly killing himself in the effort. And it would take a blind man to miss that Jared loved Tristan. It was in every glance, every touch, every time Jared scolded the cub or brought Tristan's struggling body in for a bath. If he knew nothing else about Jared, Jensen would know that he was someone good, someone worth knowing.
"Well," Jared shrugged, leaning back on his hands on the rock, his long legs sprawled out in front of him.
"What do you want to know?"
"Your markings, they're quite distinctive," Jensen commented immediately, knowing that the striping of Jared's coat probably shouldn't have been the foremost thing in his mind. But it was.
I guess? Jared's eyes flicked away uncomfortably.
"What's wrong with them?"
"Nothing is wrong with them," Jensen huffed a laugh at the notion. "It's just, fertiles usually don't have any striping or marks. Dominants have markings to impress fertiles during the mating seasons. After all, it is we who must impress you. They're
odd, but there's nothing wrong with them. He found himself a little surprised to admit that it was quite the opposite. There was nothing at all wrong with Jared's markings. If anything, Jensen found them quite handsome. It made Jared stand out, even amongst the fertile.
I don't know what to tell you, Jared shrugged, his eyes returning to Jensen. They were just what I was born with.
I see. Jensen considered his next question carefully, but eventually decided to try. It might be a little too far, too fast, for their first in-depth conversation. A little too invasive, but Jensen was curious and accustomed to getting all the answers. He had to admit to himself that he was probably too used to being alpha, too used to people just telling him what he wanted to know.
How did you come to live with humans?
Wow. Jared fiddled with the hem of his shirt, looking down. That's kind of a long story.
I have the time, Jensen reminded.
Jared glanced at him and grimaced, but he didn't say no. He was quiet for a while, and Jensen wondered if he would beg off, shut Jensen down, but the denial never came.
I mean, this is just what my parents told me, and they're not liars, he quickly amended, looking to Jensen to make sure the alpha understood that.
They're good people, so I know they were telling the truth. It's just, it's not really my story. I don't remember any of this. I didn't even know I was a werecat and a lure until I was 13.
Jensen couldn't stop his eyes from widening at that. You grew up thinking you were human?
The idea was horrifying. Not because there was anything wrong with humans. Jensen got along quite well with them, and he'd always championed cooperation between their species. But he pitied any creature raised to believe that it was something that it was not. To not know themselves.
Jared just nodded, as if it were perfectly normal.
Yeah, I mean, my brothers and I, we spent the first 3 years of our lives as cats. Cubs, I guess. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to have dreams about running around on all fours, but I just thought they were dreams. None of us remembered that far back after a while. When we were 13, Daniel and Brandon got into this stupid fight over a girl. It ended up getting physical, and then all of a sudden, Daniel flipped out. And instead of Daniel, he was just this huge mountain lion in the living room.
Jared chuckled at the memory.
After that, my parents couldn't really avoid telling us anymore.
How?
Jensen asked, and realized from Jared's quizzical look that he thought Jensen was asking how Jared's parents could avoid telling them. Jensen tried again.
How did this happen?
He couldn't fathom how 3 Allure cubs could end up raised by humans, raised as humans, and unknowingly all the while without those cubs' parents or pride objecting.
Have you ever heard of the Yellowstone Pride?
Jared asked, and that was all it took to answer Jensen's question. A few short words and Jensen understood immediately, his whole body feeling a rush of cold despite the muggy summer air as he went absolutely still. The initial incident had happened 10 years before Jensen was born, but even so it was something that had been burned into the consciousness of his people. For the most part, relations between the Allure and humans in the continental U.S. were good. The government defended them, even if they patronizingly thought of them as a kind of animal that needed protecting. And most people, while sometimes obnoxious with their cameras and their staring, were more curious about the Allure than anything else. But just because things were mostly good didn't mean that there weren't some bad eggs. Even now, there were still religious groups that condemned the Allure based on human beliefs. Jensen had never quite understood them, no one really explaining human religion to him, just as a lore myth wasn't explained in human schools, but as far as he'd ever been able to tell from the pictures at Yellowstone,
It had been a religious sect that believed the Aelur were evil, woe-begotten creatures not of their human god. Jensen could easily pull the pictures into his mind's eye, the images impossible to forget, Aelur with their fur half-melted, ears dissolved by whatever it was that had been thrown into the Yellowstone Pride ground. Miserable beasts crawling around, only half alive, searching for their missing cubs, their missing friends and family. When the pictures had been taken, no one knew what had happened, or what was going to happen, just how bad it would get. They thought it was just bombs, just explosions. The attack had happened at night, the bombs tossed into where the Pride had been sleeping. The humans that guarded their pack had been there soon after the flames caught in the trees, putting them out, but it hadn't been soon enough. It had been too late, even the minute the first one had gone off. They just hadn't known it at the time. The Pride had recovered in the first few weeks. The death toll had been savage, but most of the Pride had survived the attack. At the time, it was on the human news almost constantly. Reels of human news reporters talking about what had happened, what should happen, as well as the most well-groomed of the Aelur representatives explaining the situation. All the Prides on the continent had offered their assistance to Yellowstone as much as they could give, and between that and the human government, the Pride began to stabilize. Then the first Fertile had fallen ill. Jensen didn't know all the details, could only go on what he'd heard growing up. All his reports, second or third or fourth hand. But from the stories he knew, it had only taken 1 week of fever, 1 week of dementia and delirium, for the Fertile to pass, too fast for any of the Pride or their human guardians to find out what was wrong. Whatever had been in those bombs had been something worse than fire, something far worse. The illness spread just like the fire had. Only it couldn't be put out, no matter what they treated the ill with, and no matter how they separated those they thought weren't sick. They'd been exposed weeks ago in the initial attack. The Fertiles who'd been infected died, one after the other. The dominants, though, were worse. They weathered the disease, survived the contagion period, but when the fever left them and the crippling pain faded, they were changed, different. Jensen remembered his mother telling him stories of dominance and betas gone mad, eyes gone twisted and wrong. All intelligence fled, leaving only a monster of violent malevolence behind. Stories of dominance that had killed the few Fertiles who'd never caught the illness, ripping cubs to shreds in their madness. In the end, the Alphas of several Prides, unable to take care of the problem themselves for fear of catching the disease, gave the humans who guarded the park their permission. The last of the Yellowstone cats had been hunted down like wild animals, killed with rifles to keep them from spreading the terrible plague to other prides. Jensen remembered reading one article that had been penned during a period of hope, when it was believed that they'd killed the dominants in time, that there was some hidden enclave of uninfected Yellowstone cats, that the humans were searching the park and were sure to find survivors. They never found one. Jensen swallowed hard, throat and mouth feeling dry. The memories of Yellowstone, a horror story and cautionary tale all in one, something out of a nightmare that some of his people didn't even want to believe. The worst of it, beyond the violence of the attack, was that everyone knew exactly why the Yellowstone Pride had been chosen as a target. If any cats were the leaders of their people, of the Aelur, it had been the Yellowstone Pride. In the legends, it was the Yellowstone Pride, the Dawnbringers, that carried the blood of Thaelil, the first Aelur, the first cat with the gift of shifting. Amongst the Aelur, the Yellowstone cats had been treated as something between royalty and honored shamans, the descendants of an ancient line of kings, the carriers of an older, more gifted spirit. Jensen's mother used to tell him of Dawnbringers that could change into shapes besides those of a cat and a man. Ones that could see through the thoughts like vapors. Ones that could call down the gods themselves and run through the sky while still living, both of the earth and of the heavens, and bound by neither. Told him of the cats who prayed every morning for the sun to come back, and that the only reason it rose, that light came back to the earth, were their divine pleas. Of all the alphas, of all the prides, the Yellowstone Alpha was the only one who could make any claim to ruling over all of the others. They had been sacred, holy, and they had been wiped out. Jensen shivered as he looked at Jared and knew exactly why this fertile bore such markings, the mark of one who could trace his lineage back to the first cats.
"You are the last of the Yellowstone cats," Jensen breathed finally, almost tempted to reach out and touch, to prove with his hands that this was real.
"I guess? I mean, there's my brothers." Jared shrugged, as if this revelation meant nothing, as if he didn't carry the last of that holy blood, untainted by the human's disease.
"But I don't understand. When were you born?"
1991. The last living Aelur at Yellowstone was seen almost 30 years before that. They were destroyed. Jared shrugged again, still fiddling with his shirt. "I guess not. I mean, that's what my dad thought, too. He was a park ranger. He told me, us, that he was patrolling the park one winter and he found this huge dead cougar. He said it looked like she'd starved to death. There were no other cats around, not even footsteps in the snow, just her and 5 kittens. 2 were already, but me and my brothers were still alive. My dad had no idea we were werecats. Part of his job was taking in orphaned animals like that, helping them along. They could be used in education programs or fostered and returned to the wild." Jared smiled a little, and Jensen could tell he was remembering things, perhaps caring for small orphaned animals in his own youth. "Anyways, he brought us home, and he and Mom looked after us. They said it wasn't the first time they'd looked after cougars."
"And they had no idea?"
It wasn't really a question. "None." Jared looked over at him. "Not until months had passed and we hadn't grown. They had the large animal vet check us out, and he couldn't find anything wrong with us. Like you said, they hadn't had an Aelur so much as sighted at Yellowstone in 30 years. It didn't even occur to them at first. They just kept taking care of us, hoping that we'd eventually start growing. By the time they realized that we weren't cougars, they'd had us for almost a year and a half. They couldn't report it." Jared met Jensen's eyes, his gaze pleading as if needing Jensen to understand him, believe him. Jensen just tried to nod, to give him any encouragement. "They couldn't tell anyone. If anyone found out they'd been keeping werecat cubs, they wouldn't have just gotten a fine or some jail time. They'd have been locked up for the rest of their lives. Them and the vets that looked at us, and the other park rangers who'd come to see us. They didn't have a choice. Besides, the park had gotten lots of threats from those psychos back in the day, the ones who staged the original attack. If they thought that any of the pride had survived, they'd target them, us, and..." Jared softened a little. "And my parents had had us for a year and a half. Mom loved us, and there was no way in hell she was letting her kids go. So my dad, he asked everyone to keep it a secret. By the time we had our human forms, they'd just told everyone in town that they'd adopted some kids, told us we were theirs, and we grew up there. That was our home, our family."
"Jared, I can't believe..."
"Please, don't think badly of them. I know it was a stupid decision, but you have to understand, they're my parents. They looked after us and gave us Christmases and fireworks and handmade Halloween costumes. They were the ones that read us bedtime stories and kissed our scraped knees and
cut the crusts off her sandwiches. And I know it wasn't the right decision, that they should have probably told someone, but they were good parents. They loved us. Jensen's brow furrowed, and he couldn't deny that there was something heated in his chest at the idea of humans keeping Allure like pets. But from everything Jared was describing, it hadn't been like that. The humans hadn't made the best decisions overall, but the ones they had made had been out of love. They'd raised 3 Allure as humans, but it was only because it was the only way they knew how to raise children. He didn't blame them for that. He nodded once, jerkily, trying to process everything that he was hearing. He swallowed, pressing his luck to ask one more question. How did they die? He didn't expect Jared's head to snap up, his eyes wide and confused. Die? My parents aren't dead. But you were talking about them in the past tense, and you're all alone. Your parents and brothers, I had assumed. No, Jared shook his head. No, my family, they're fine. They're fine and living in Wyoming, and they're fine. So why did you... I think that's enough for one day, right? Jared asked, smile a little tremulous with hope. Jensen could tell that Jared wasn't strained, though, or hadn't been up until this point. It wasn't that what Jared had talked about had taxed him. If anything, the story of his origin, how he'd come to live with humans, had affected Jensen more than Jared. To Jared, it was just a story he'd heard about from his parents. To Jensen, it was the realization that the blood of their gods still walked amongst them, preserved in 3 tender lives. No, it was whatever came next that affected Jared. Whatever had happened to tear his family apart. Jensen pursed his lips and nodded. He needed time to deal with his current revelations. I had no idea you were... He shook his head. Why would you? Jared tossed it off like it was nothing. Jensen was tempted to reply, to tell him just how much this meant. But something stopped him. He would gladly tell Jared just how important this was, how important he was, but Jared seemed to be working on just dealing with learning about his heritage as an Allure. It wouldn't do to throw this on his shoulders, too. When Jared wanted to talk about it, well, Jensen was Alpha. He would be there for any in his pride. It surprised him only a little bit that he already thought of Jared as thus. He reached out, putting his hand on the younger cat's shoulder. I'm glad that you told me, in any case. Jared lifted his head, glancing at Jensen, and offered a bare hint of a smile. Jensen was glad that this cub had been raised with love and care, that there had been people that had shown him kindness and luxury, and that he'd been kept safe from those who would wish to harm him. He was grateful for all those things. But here, now, Jensen felt the full swell of responsibility in him. This cat was in his pride now, and under his protection. There was no way that Jared was ever escaping Jensen's notice again.